let's look here in the Word of God just for a minute tonight, and I want to show you something here. In the Bible, Psalm 32. Psalm 32, just for a few minutes tonight. It's a real simple message here this evening. Very simple doctrinal truth that we all should know anyway. And I hope that you know this tonight. If you don't, it might have you cleared up. It don't hurt at all to get these simple little truths in our hearts from time to time. I mean, the Bible's an amazing book, and it's absolutely perfect in every area and infallible. And so we'll look at Psalm 32 tonight, and look at verse 9. Psalm 32 and verse 9. I have screamed and hollered all week long, and I might be just a little shy of my normal throat, so I hope that you'll pray for us. Psalm 32, 9. Look at it. Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule. The Lord compares us to a horse or a mule. Isn't that something? How awful. Which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Now the Bible says a horse has to have his mouth held in with a bit and bridle. A cat, they go that way, they go that way. And so I want to preach a few minutes tonight on the subject of horse sense. Horse sense. All of us have heard the expression horse sense. And we've all heard that. And we sort of look at horse sense like common sense. And I don't know where that comes from. Tell you the truth, I don't know much about horses. I know we have people in here that have horses and ride horses and love horses. I never have been much of a horse lover or horse rider. I don't really care nothing about horses, to tell you the truth. I don't like to ride something that's got a mind of its own. It might decide it wants to go somewhere I don't want to go. And horses tonight are, the Bible compares us to horses and something that said, don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. They do know a few things, but they have no understanding. A lot of people are like that. A lot of people have, they just know when they're hungry, they know when they're tired, they know when they're excited, they know when they're light, but they have no understanding of life. And that's a sad shape to be in. A horse is like that. A horse knows how to respond. He knows how to run away from a fire. A horse knows how to put his head down and eat food. But he has no understanding. A horse has a massive frame. I read about a horse the other day that was 6'6" and weighed over 3,000 pounds. That's a big animal. 6'6", tall as a big man over there, and weighed 3,200 pounds. That's a little less than what, a little more than what he is. I mean, that's a big animal, 3,200 pounds. That's as much as an automobile, right, same size. But the horse does that sometimes. And that people are that way. I know people tonight that you know too. It's amazing to me how little understanding a lot of people have. Heard about a woman up in West Virginia the other day. Went down and told the policeman. Went down to the police office and she said, you're going to have to move that sign out there in front of my house. And they said, why, ma'am? What's wrong with it? She said, well, it's causing all kinds of accidents. They said, which sign is it? She said, that deer crossing sign out there. You put that deer, there's deer run across there all the time now. And said, you're going to have to move. That's right. That's right. Now, some of you don't even get that. You're dumber than the woman from West Virginia. She said, there's so many deer crossing there, you're going to have to change that sign and make them cross somewhere else. She said, they're causing accidents. Now, that's no understanding. Like these dumb criminals. You heard these dumb criminal stories where the guy goes in, sneaks in the convenience store and going to rob it and gets himself locked in. Then he calls the police to come and get him out, you know, and stuff like that. Bible said, be not as the horse or as the mule that have no understanding. It is not a sin to be ignorant. It is a sin to stay ignorant. God wants us to learn. He said, the Lord said, I would not have you to be ignorant. Have you noticed nowadays how ignorant so many people are about the things of God? They have no understanding about the Bible. I tell you what, I thank God that one day He let me understand some things out of this book. I'm telling you, one of the greatest days of my life is when the Bible started making sense to me. And I understand Bible verses. I told them over there at camp, I'll never forget when the revival I got saved in. I told y'all kids at camp this, so you're going to have to hear it again. The revival I got saved in, the preacher, Joe Parson, preached 2 hours. He preached 2 hours every night. I don't remember but one word that he said. He'd get up and preach 2 solid hours, and one word he said, manifest. That word manifest just got a hold of me. And I thought, man, I don't know what it means, but I like that. He said, manifest. He said it every night. He said in the Holy Spirit, manifest itself. And I grabbed a hold of that word. And then verses of Scripture. So I remember hearing our preacher get up and he'd say, if my people which are called by my name, and the Spirit inside me would relate to that Scripture. And I remember thinking, you know what? That's true. That's true. I like that. And the Word of God started getting in me. I'll never forget when I heard that verse over there in Proverbs where it says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And I went around quoting that verse. I had no idea in the world what it meant. I remember I wasn't even a preacher, but I remember I'd get up and I'd go up to somebody and I'd say, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they said, what? I said, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. I had no idea in the world what that meant. But I liked the way it sounded. You know, there's something about that King James English that when the Spirit of God's inside, it clicks, don't it? It relates. If you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. There's something inside you that says, amen, when this book is read. Or preach. And then I got to look at it. Lord finally showed me what it means. It says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. That means they used to catch birds. My mom said her brothers, when it was snow, they didn't have my Uncle Pat, their grandpa, and my Uncle Jack, and my Uncle Ralph. She said right when it snowed, the guys, keep them starving to death, they said they would put little strings out the window in the snow and put a piece of bread on it, and then when a bird stepped in it, they'd jerk it right quick. Now, you'd have to catch a mighty big bunch of birds, snowbirds, to feed that family. I'm telling you. I'd take 10,000 of them probably to make a good meal for everybody, but they said they caught birds like that. And the verse said, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. That means if the bird's sitting here watching you spread that net, it's a waste of time. It's in vain. You get that? That means if we're sitting there watching the devil set a trap for us, it ain't going to work. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But don't that scripture just do something? I'll never forget when it started getting in me like that. And I begin to think, you know what? I'm a statesman. I'm a great guy. I mean, you know why? Because I was quoting the greatest book on the planet. I'm glad tonight that you can be, you might not be but 15 years old, but if you get this book inside you, you can have wisdom beyond some of the so-called greatest people in the world. So this evening, I want to talk about that just a little bit. They said way back in the late 40s, old Benjamin Spock wrote that book about common sense, and it was completely wrong. His whole philosophy was wrong. Many science books have been written. Brother Derek mentioned this morning about science and what science is and what it's supposed to be, classified knowledge. And you know what? To know something. And you never have to worry about it if you know what the book said. Let me say just a few things about this quick and we'll go. Number one, common heart spiritual sense is understanding the depravity of a sinner. A lot of people don't understand this. You are born into sin. The world thinks that you're born good, or at least born neutral, and your surroundings make you turn out good or bad. Your surroundings that you grow up in. That's why you hear this expression, he's a product of his environment. And they think if you're born in a what we call a bad environment, that you'll automatically go bad. And if you're born in what we call a good environment, you'll automatically go good. That is not common sense. That is not horse sense. And it's not Bible. The Bible says we're all born in there. David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You know what this world don't know tonight? This world don't realize that every man, woman born into this world is bent toward evil. We come into this world going the wrong way. There's not a kid in here tonight that you have to teach to lie. They already know how to lie. It's built on the inside of them. There's not a kid in here that you have to teach to be deceitful or to steal something. It's inside of them. They already know. We are born sinners. You are a sinner by nature. As soon as you get old enough, you become a sinner by choice. And when you're born, you're a sinner by nature. The Bible said in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You know the scripture in Romans, there is none good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a parent in here tonight that I have to tell that to. You can see it in Carrie told me, Corey told me, just in Little Gate. They called me one day and they said, Daddy, I'll tell them to do something. And she said, they'll look at me and go, she said, I can see the devil in them. I said, that's right. They got it from you. And you know where you got it? From me. You know where I got it? From my daddy. You know where he got it? From his daddy. They ain't but one child ever been without that. And that's because his daddy wasn't a human being like us. His father was God. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight, every other child in this world comes into this world leaning and with a sinful nature. I talked to a lady at the grocery store one time, and I talked to her, and we talked to her about child image and everything. She said, oh, I have good children. I've never had to discipline myself. I said, ain't one child on this earth ever been not needed discipline, and it wasn't yours, and it wasn't mine. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have common sense if you don't realize the depravity of man. People think we'll go into this neighborhood and we'll build nice apartments and we'll put carpet on the floor and put a nice TV in there and we'll elevate this group of people and we'll take these folks maybe that have been, they say they have a generational curse and all that kind of stuff, and it's got nothing to do with race, it's got nothing to do with income, it's got nothing to do, and they'll say we'll change all this and make them better, and it never works. It never works because you go back a little while longer and TVs will be thrown out in the parking lot, carpet will be ripped up, and the same things in the rich section downtown where the big shots live. I like what the old preacher said one time. He said, you see that old drunk down there in the gutter? He's gone to the dogs. You see that rich lady that's passed out drunk up there in the mansion? She's gone to the devil. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. The sin in the White House is the same as the sin down here at the crack house. The sin tonight in the schoolhouse is the same sin as in the church house. We understand the depravity of the sinner. Don't raise your hand tonight, but how many of you ever just caught yourself just being mean to your husband, to your wife, to your children, to your parents? Just me, and you can feel it, and you start thinking, my goodness, I'm awful. Lord, forgive me. You're depraved by nature, and the only help for you is you must be born again and overcome that old nature. By the way, after you get born again, that old nature's still there. Sure is. Understanding the depravity of the sinner. Secondly, the horse sense is understanding the damnation of the soul. Romans 20:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Revelation 20 and verse 14 says, death and hell were delivered up to them. You must understand you are headed for hell. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can't miss. You're just as good in hell as if you was already there if you're not saved. We don't understand that. People out there in the world, I talked to this girl one time, we was out witnessing, and I'll never forget it. She said, I said, are you going to heaven when you die? She said, no. I said, are you going to hell? She said, no. I said, where are you going? She said, I believe in reincarnation, and I feel like that I'm going to come back as a tree. Because trees are so beautiful, and they have limbs and all that. And I said, lady, I don't know where you heard that, but according to that Bible, if you're not saved, y'all listen to me tonight, this goes for our family, this goes for our unsaved loved ones, this goes for people we work with. I don't mean to sound hard this evening, I don't know, but if I'm true to my calling tonight, I'm going to tell you, they are just as good in hell as they was already there with the door shut. And they'll never get out. They scream for mercy. They beg for a drop of water on their tongue. That's why we run the buses. That's why we preach. That's why we fast. That's why we just send missionaries. We believe in the damnation of the soul. And if you don't believe that, you don't have heart sin according to the Bible. Listen, there is no, well, they believe their philosophy and they believe their philosophy. If we believe what the Bible said, people that are not saved go to hell when they die. You say, well, I don't believe there's a hell, preacher. What are you doing in a Bible preaching church then? You're wasting your time. I hope God will make a believer out of you before we leave. I don't understand how it comes out. I know people come to me every once in a while and they say, now, Brother Danny, I want you to pray for this man I work with, said he believes in heaven, but he don't believe in hell. You ever met anybody like that? They say, we believe there's a heaven, we don't believe there's a hell. They say, well, God's too good to send anybody to hell. I said, well, if He's that good, how can He let no count bums like us in heaven? I mean, it's not fair for us to go to heaven then. I'm telling you, the same Bible, we wouldn't even know there was a heaven if the Bible didn't tell us. And the same book tells us there's a heaven, tells us there's a hell, and people go there when they're not saved. Get that through your head. You know why we meet on Saturday to go visiting? You know why we sent out there visiting yesterday and knocking on them apartment doors over on Bushell Street, and I could feel a sweat running down my back, and I thought, Lord have mercy, it's hot out here. We was talking to some guy, and his mother came out there, and she was sitting there, and she said, I don't go to church. And she was sitting there like that. She said, I don't go to church. And I said, why not? She said, well, I just don't. Honestly, I thought she had a bad attitude. And had a little kid that run around like that. And somehow or another, he brought up the internet. And I think it was, who was standing beside me? John, was it you, John? Me and Brother John. And he said something about me preaching on the internet. And she looked over at me and said, you do pretty good on there. So he said, and again, I said, you've been watching me on the internet? She said, yeah, I watch you. I said, you've been listening. I didn't even know it. I'd have no idea who she was. She said, I've been watching you. And I said, lady, you need to get. She said, well, I ain't much on going to church. But she been listening. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that you know why we put that stuff on there? Somebody does. You know why we run them buses every Sunday when it's hot? You know how come we try to teach those kids back there when it's hot? You know why we run them when it's cold? I mean, there ain't hardly no time, good time to ride a bus. In the summer's too hot, winter's too cold, maybe a few weeks of spring and fall. But you know why? We believe there's a hell, and their parents are going, and they're going if they don't get saved by the grace of God. We had 15 kids saved this week. That's shouting ground. Woo! Hallelujah! That's shouting ground! Kids got saved. They have no understanding of the damnation of the soul. 6 trillion years from now, they'll still be in hell. And you can't die. And you don't ever get out. And the fire don't let up. And it burns your head. Burns your eyes in hell. According to Luke 16. You have a tongue in hell that can't burn up. According to Luke 16. You have hands in hell. Body in hell. And it don't... Listen, y'all go to school with kids. You go to work with people. We have an understanding of the damnation of the soul. I know that's old fashioned, but it's still true. It's still true. Number 3. Horse sense will give you an understanding of the drawing of the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. John 6:44. It talks about the Spirit of the Lord. You can hear, come, He's drawing you today. I've heard people say, well, the Lord ain't dealing with me. Yes, He is. If the Lord wasn't dealing with you, you wouldn't even be here. There, you wouldn't, last one place you'd want to be in church if the Lord wasn't dealing with you. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is drawing. The Spirit of God is drawing. Every time you ride by church and see a steeple, the Spirit of God is drawing a person. I remember it was that way with me. When I was growing up, we'd go up there and sit on the steps of Nebo Baptist Church. And I'll never forget sitting up there like that. And we'd sit there and bounce a ball. We'd just sit there and dribble a ball like that. And just bounce and talk and cut up. And I remember thinking, I'm on the church grounds. I'm on the church property. I'm not even going to cuss on this property. I remember thinking that. I thought I'm respecting. You know what that was? The Spirit of God pulling on my heart and drawing on my heart. I don't know about y'all tonight, but I'm glad that He never does leave us alone like that. I'm glad I can't just go out here and do anything and not feel bad about it. I'm glad. It don't matter if y'all are looking or not. When I'm all by myself, there's somebody that won't let me. If I do something wrong, something says that's wrong, that's wrong. You ought to thank God for that. That's the Holy Ghost keeping you in line. It's been that way with me ever since I've been saved. When I want to get out of line and I do something wrong, it feels like a rubber band. You can go so far and it'll pull you back. You know what I'm talking about? You can go so far and try to rebel. I've tried to rebel. And I think, no, 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 no. Something keeps pulling me back. Pulling me back. And if you're really saved, the Spirit of God's inside you. You might drink that beer, but it'll pull you back. You might say that cuss word. You might steal that money. You might flirt with that woman or that man you ain't married to. But something inside you keeps pulling you back. And pulling you back. It's the Holy Spirit drawing power. Thank God it's in there. That's horse sense. Common sense. Common sense. You know what? If you're saved, the Lord won't let you do too much wrong without jerking on you. And if you do too much, He'll slap you a little bit. He sure will. He sure will. The chastising hand of God. Just like your kids. Kids do something wrong, better quit that boy. Do something wrong with him, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, I ain't telling you no more. The next time, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. He's a good father. And I'm glad. You know, some people, like I said about this one thing, they don't understand the whipping. A mule, to put it nicely, it don't understand the whipping. You can hit him. Daddy had a mule one time. And I remember when I was real little, Daddy still had a mule, but he had one growing up. And he said one time it stood on his foot. And it stood on his foot and it wouldn't get off. And that thing was heavy. And on his foot, and he pushed it and pushed it like that. And he pulled out a knife, just stuck it right in it. Stabbed it right on, and it got off his foot. And you know, that's the only language them stupid things can understand. Force. Brute force. Brute force is only. And you know what? I know people, they get in a car wreck. Well, no, man, I tell you what, about got myself killed there. As soon as they get out, go right back to a party again. And get in a fight, get a big cut down through the hip, get stitches in the neck. As soon as they get out, go right back. We all know people like that. There's something bad wrong there somewhere. Listen, if you're saved, you get it real quick. God's talking to me. God's dealing with me. The Lord don't have to slap me, but so much, I get it. I get it, Lord. I get it. I'm wrong. You're right. It's like going to jail. You ever met these people that get put in jail all the time and it don't bother them? I'm telling you, one night in jail, I'd learn my lesson. One night. How do you know? I don't know. I ain't never been in jail in my life. I've been to jail. I've never been in jail. I preached revival in jail over at Craggy in Asheville. And every night we'd go in there and that big guard would come in there and lock that gate and I'd hear that thing go, clang! And I was inside there and I thought, oh, good night. And all them guys would come in there and I mean, we had a great time and I preached, but that's not a good feeling. And I wasn't even convicted or nothing. I said, let me out of here. And the whole time I was saying, I believe if I was in here, I believe I could climb over that and I could get over that fence and it's got barbed wire on like that on top of it. I think, might get scratched up a little bit there. Trying to get through there, and then they shoot you. After when you run across the yard, I thought, I don't want to be in prison. Some people just, I mean, they just, it's like the Lord, how many of y'all know somebody, the Lord beats them to death and they just don't get it. Just don't get it. I'm telling you, buddy, I get my head knocked in one time, I think, okay, I got you. Nope, that's done. I ain't doing that no more. By God's grace, I ain't going there no more. I ain't doing that no more. Ladies and gentlemen, that's horse sense. Last thing I'm going to say is they understand the decision of salvation. John 1:12 said, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Today, right now, I did it when I was 18. You can do it tonight. You can get saved here tonight if you're not saved. You don't have to be a genius. Watch this. Somebody said, how do you become a Christian? If I got up here and I said, you have to learn 10 Bible verses, go to church 8 Sundays in a row, learn the books of the Old Testament, and then we'll confirm you and you'll be a Christian. There'd be people try that. But here's how simple it is to become a Christian. Jeremy, I have something to give you. Take it. It's a gift. That's how you got saved. That's how I got saved. That's how Billy Graham got saved. Everybody that's ever been saved got saved like that right there. Receiving a gift. We have to make it so complicated. There's whole denominations say you have to do this. You have to be baptized. You have to be confirmed. You have to do this. You have to prove yourself. You have to do that. It's accepting a gift. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. You come up here tonight and say, Lord, I thank You and what You did on the cross for my sin. Thou shalt be saved, glory to God. Hallelujah. This evening, I'm glad for the understanding of the decision of salvation. George Whitefield was lost. Many, many years prayed several times a day, fasted, trying to get saved and couldn't get saved. And finally, met a preacher and told him it was a free gift. And met Charles Wesley, John Wesley's brother. And he understood John 3:16. He said, John 3 said you must be born again. And George Whitefield went around preaching. He got saved and went around preaching you must be born again the rest of his life. Now, me and Big Boy over here have been talking this week about salvation. There's ditches on both sides of the road. It's easy to get saved. It's easy to get saved. Salvation is free, but it is not cheap. Jesus paid an awful price for it. And it's serious business. I don't think we ought to tell kids, especially kids or adults either. You don't come just laughing, cutting up. You believe in Jesus? Yes. Shake hands, glory to God, you're saved. That ain't the way it works. I know a lady one time, she'd go out on her lunch break and come back and say 7 or 8 people got saved. I was off lunch 30 minutes, 1 to 8 souls. You know, that ain't the way it works. A person has to be sincere. A person has to believe in their heart, not just in their head. However, on the other hand, you can't make it so hard that people can't get it either. See, there's easy believism and there's hard believism. Some people make it too easy, some people make it too hard. The truth is, the Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus shall believe in thine heart. I believe there's a lot of people that come down cutting up, laughing, that don't get saved. And I believe there's a lot of people that get saved before they ever get to the altar. It's believing in the heart that Christ died for our sins. I know I say that and y'all just sit there and say, well, of course, Brother Danny. Do you realize that most people in the world don't even understand that? Do y'all realize that most people in this county, we live in the Bible Belt, don't understand that it's simply faith in what Jesus did on the cross that makes you a Christian? They don't even realize that. They don't even realize that. And the world, there's millions and millions. Those Muslims, how sad that is. I mean, millions of them, I don't see how they all bow at the same. How do they do that? 10,000 of them out there. And they all bow at the same time. You see them on TV? That's a weird thing, man. They're wasting their time. A million Catholics every Sunday go to church and say, Hail Mary, full of grace, save us now as sinners in the hour of our death. Blessed are old John the Baptist and blessed Joseph and blessed are wasting their breath. Absolute waste. Going high as a ceiling. That book said, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You're not saved by repetitious prayers. You're not saved by twiddling beads or bowing down or saying our Father or saying prayers. You're saved by faith in what Christ did for you on the cross.
Amen.
You're not even saved by praying. You're saved by believing.
Amen.
What Jesus did for you on the cross.
Amen,
you're not saved by repenting. You can repent and not get saved.
Amen.
Repentance simply means quit, turn away. You can quit drinking, cussing, smoking, everything and still die and go to hell. You are saved by putting your faith like this in what Jesus did on the cross. Thank God that's horse sense, brother. Old-fashioned horse sense. And ladies and gentlemen, one day when we leave this old world, we've got the assurance that we got a place up yonder in heaven reserved for us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We had a little old boy. We had a little old boy at camp. I called him Einstein. And he's about that tall. Y'all remember that little fella? And he wore glasses like this and he went around like this. He looked just like a little genius. And he walked around like this all the time. I called him Waldo about half of the week. I said, your name Waldo? And he'd go around and he'd say like this. He'd say, the other day there was a train and the train wrecked. And he'd tell you some big story. He wasn't that tall. And we had a talent show. And he went up there one day. I said, what's your talent, buddy? And you think he's going to quote, you know, somehow the dictionary or something. He's really, really smart. And he went up there and he went. He's playing Wipeout or something. And everybody went, whoa, like that. Well, that's the way I feel up here tonight, brother. Listen, I'm an old sinner. Old Danny's an old sinner. Ought to go to hell when I die. I'm going to tell you something this evening. One day when I die, brother, the pearly gates are going to open up. And brother, the saints of God are going to say, when the saints go marching in, and here I'm going to go, an old unworthy dog that ought to be in hell, but the gates is open, and no prayer, they're going to be up there, and the band's going to be playing, and I'll march in saying, hallelujah, amen, say hi to mom and my dad and my sister, and see Jesus and see the Lord. You know why? Because I've got it right. I've got it right. My faith is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my decision of salvation. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad we can just have plain, old, common horse sense. Amen. Let's sing. Let's stand and sing. I'll tell you what let's do. Brother Jason, you come up here tonight. And everybody stand. Bow your head, please. Everybody stand. Bow your head, please. And Miss Tessie, you come. Just play something soft.